The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes.' Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." The Gospel of the Lord. At the outset, I want to give a nod and an acknowledgement to the tragedy of Las Vegas that occurred a week ago this evening, not only because it's a national tragedy, but because of the proximity and popularity of Las Vegas. There may be individuals that some of you may know who were present or affected by it. I know in our school we had two sets of parents who were present. They're fine. They made it home. No one was hurt. But in a previous parish that I was at in northern Marin County in the city of Novato, one of the CCD parents whose children go to CCD there was among those who were killed. And so it is something we keep in mind. And we offer our prayers for the country, but especially those who were there and who were affected by it and their families. And it's interesting, as we watch the news throughout the course of the week, something like this always results in people jumping forward and calling for not only political action or promoting a political agenda, but you have sometimes in that context and another context, people immediately coming out with prophecies of doom and gloom for the future of our country and the future of our society because things like this happen. And I noticed something very interesting. Those who were going into doom and gloom about this and how our country is no good and how are we going to ever move forward, have you ever noticed every last one of them were people who weren't there? People who weren't there. And they're saying it from a distance. But the people who were there, who were being interviewed, to no end in many ways, don't seem to have any kind of agenda, but they all seem to be grounded in either a faith or a spirit of this nation or respect for the future and a hope for the future of this nation. And the people who were there, family members who are there, they say, "We just thank God we are okay. We pray for those who were hurt." They don't push a doom and gloom agenda or anything like that. It's a real difference between those who weren't there and those who were there. And really, there's a certain grounding that you see in them, in that experience, that despite this attack and despite this terrible experience, their hope is still there. And that's manifested in the gentleman. His video went viral on the internet when President Trump was visiting those who were in the hospital. This is a man who was injured in the leg who insisted on standing up from his hospital bed. He says, "I've never laid down in the presence of someone of the stature of the President of the United States." This man wasn't playing a victim. He wasn't doom and gloom. It was, "Oh, what's the point for the future of our country?" But there was a hopefulness in this. And when the First Lady first came into the hospital and said, "Don't stand up," he stood up anyway, and he stood for the President and shook his hand. And you see a great hope in the midst of such a tragedy as that. Well, in relating to today's gospel, that's a kind of an extreme example. Some of you may have heard of or may remember the philosopher of the late 1800s named Friedrich Nietzsche. He's a man who's known for one phrase, if not the rest of his philosophy, and that phrase is, God is dead. Not meaning that God was once alive and now he's been killed off, but basically that the modern world has reached such a point that we no longer need a notion of God in order to explain things such as the origins of the universe. Well, Nietzsche is now dead, and we have moved on as people of faith, and in some cases some of the most religious people are people of science. People of science. Another speaker of the late 1800s was a Frenchman named Émile Zola. Some of you may have heard of Émile Zola. He was a French writer and activist, social activist, wanted to raise people's awareness of the poor and the decadent in society. He is known for a phrase saying that there will never be true peace in the world until the last stone of the last church falls on the last priest. Did I mention he was French? Nothing against Frenchmen, by the way, but he was quite the cynic, obviously, in the turn of the century, coming up to World War I. And perhaps that reflects the cynicism that led to the great tragedy of World War I. However, Émile Zola is also gone, and the church continues to thrive. People of faith continue to move forward. We can speak of any example throughout history in which people of faith have been under assault by people who lack that faith, from the early persecutions of the Roman Empire, which killed off our founding fathers of the church. The apostles all died martyrs' deaths at the hands of people who lacked that faith that they had. And people standing from a distance would say, see, where is their God? Where is their hope? They call themselves saved and redeemed by Jesus. Well, where are they in the midst of such suffering? And you ever notice that people who say that are people who aren't there? The people who are enduring it, people who are experiencing it, still have that great faith. And it was those early years of persecution in which many people gave their lives that led to the reflection that we are imitating the sacrifice of Christ. There was still that hope, and there was still that grounding in the faith that they professed, a basic faith that kept them moving forward despite what was happening to them. And we see examples of that all throughout the centuries, even down to today. Our brothers and sisters who suffer and continue to suffer, hopefully less and less now, at the hands of the Islamic State, while people who aren't there are saying, where is their God? How could they proclaim a faith? How could they say that they're saved? And yet those who are there, experiencing it, are examples of great hope, great heroism, and great faith because they have that grounding in the faith that they profess. Well, all throughout the gospel today, we see examples of the assault upon those who are seeking to get a produce from the vineyard. And the thing is, the vineyard is still there. The vineyard in the gospel is still there. It will still yield. It will still put forth its fruit. But despite the assault of those tenants, even though the vineyard owner sends his servants, sends his stewards, and ultimately sends his son, one way or another, because that vineyard still has that great root, it will yield if he has the people there who are grounded in what they are there for as the workers in the vineyard, those tenants in the vineyard. And despite those efforts to undermine the fruits of the vineyard, to undermine the purpose of the vine grower, the owner of the vineyard, that vineyard will bear fruit one way or another. It will bear fruit either because of the faithful tenants who are there, or it will bear fruit in spite of the unfaithful tenants who are there. And there's where Jesus says, the vineyard will be taken away from those who are not grounded, who are not rooted in the purpose of the vineyard, who see it as a point of profit, and whose aggressiveness against the purpose of that vineyard is manifested in their rebellion toward the vine owner, the vineyard owner, and those that he sends. But those who are loyal to the vine grower, to the vineyard owner, those are the ones who will ultimately receive that vineyard. And the rebellion will no doubt continue, although they will continue at a distance, not within the vineyard itself. And so we look at the various examples of our church's experience throughout history, and perhaps even in reference to the tragedy of Las Vegas last week. Those who are grounded can move forward in faith and hope and even a positive attitude in light of persecutions, in light of great tragedies, in light of the setbacks of those who seek to undermine the work of faith that we have seen throughout our history and that we hear reflected in today's gospel. And we pray that we, as those workers in the vineyard, will be those from our work, from our grounding, from our roots, will aid in the vineyard bearing fruit. One way or another, the vine owner will get what he wants because, I'll give him a little credit, Emile Zola, the French writer, once said, "The truth marches on and nothing can stop it." In this way, in this case, the gospel moves on and nothing will stop it. In light of the tragedy in Las Vegas, hope and a positive attitude in our country as we come together, at least those who were there, coming together to bring hope and a positive conclusion, a positive attitude for us as a nation moving forward. That will move forward and nothing will stop it. The gospel moves forward and nothing will stop it. Let us pray that as workers in that vineyard, we will be those workers for whom the vineyard produces fruit because of us and not in spite of us. But we pray that we, in the midst of a very cynical world, in the midst of a world in which we do have people who speak more doom and gloom, whether it's for the future of the church or for the future of our nation or the future of the world in general, for whatever reasons, be it socio-political or be it because of just a basic lack of faith, that we be those people in the vineyard, those who are there working in the vineyard, those who experience the good times and the bad as workers in the vineyard, who, because we are rooted in that faith, can be the instruments of hope as we continue with the vineyard owner, with our God, with Jesus Christ, and the faith and hope they give us as tenants in that vineyard, that we will be among those who will see the harvest coming forth because of us and not in spite of us.